My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
That's correct, yeah. No, okay. No group of five team is in the top 25.
At least we're all starting from an equal point, according to these SIDs coaches.
That's right.
From that sense, and they're not putting Boise State or a Liberty way out in front of you, you know, that would give them a little bit of a head start.
Guess who is in the top 25?
Not that this poll is going to matter.
Is it a surprise?
It's not a surprise. It's a surprise overall, but I would be shocked if they were ever in a preseason top 25 in the modern era. But Arizona.
They lost their coach, didn't they? Didn't Fish go up to Washington?
Yeah, I think he did.
And I guess they must have restocked.
Yeah. I don't even know who the Arizona football coach is. I couldn't even tell you.
I know they had to replace the coach.
Coach Brennan.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the San Jose State guy, Brent Brennan.
Everybody likes him.
So, yeah, I mean, I would bet you Arizona has not been ranked in the preseason in football, in the coaches' poll. Maybe since 1985. I mean,
it's been a while. They were close last year, and you know they knocked off a couple big teams. If I recall, last year we're right there. That's how Fish got the job at Washington.
Yeah, I could be wrong, but I just don't think that's the team.
You're saying start of season.
Yeah, preseason. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, they could get close, but like last year they got 2 votes in the coaches' poll, and now they're 21st. So again, it's hard to see, you know. I'd have to do the the research, but off the top of my head, I just feel like they're a surprise. Other teams that are of local interest, how about that?
Yeah, Ole Miss.
That's what my kid tells me now. How about that? She's like the damn Dr. Phil girl. She's like sit down on the couch. How about that?
That's good.
I'm like, what? Who?
Who'd she get that from?
That's what I'm trying to find out, man.
Yeah, no, you get to the bottom of it.
When I was leaving for work this morning, she said, "Don't leave me like this." I said, "Oh, okay."
She's got all the sayings.
I'll leave you like this. Now rock bottom right on the couch. Let her know.
No, you didn't.
I did. I do it all the time.
Always.
I know. I do it to her. She gets that treatment for sure. And because Gator don't take no ish.
No wonder she's so wild.
Yeah.
All over there wrestling.
Exactly. As you see, I don't discriminate, you know. I don't discriminate. Whoever it is, boy, girl, whatever. Your son, my child, it does not matter.
Jake never wanted to see John again after he head-bashed him at the bowling alley.
Yep,
he literally pile-drove him in the bowling alley.
The least he could do is keep it man v. man and women v. women.
Yeah, no, he's an equal opportunity offender.
Bruh.
No, he'll pile-drive anyone.
I put my kid in, like, the walls of Jericho.
Yeah.
I put her down there. I was like, tap, tap, you know.
Like, John's like the noogie uncle guy. Come on over here, son.
Exactly. Shaping young women and men.
That's good. You're making her tough.
Yeah.
I got to, bro. We can't take no ish. Georgia. Ever heard of them? Number
heard
one.
Them. Yeah.
Ohio State, 2. Oregon, 3. Texas, 4. Bama, 5. Ole Miss, 6. Notre Dame, 7. Michigan, 8. Penn State, 9. And when Florida State and Memphis play in the second week of the season, or third week of the season, whichever one it is, Florida State likely will be number 10.
Good. Boise State's got an Oregon team as their big game. So, and that Oregon team's, what, top 5, you said, third, fourth?
Yeah.
And so that's going to matter, obviously, in your group of 5 resume.
Exactly.
That result compared to your result.
Let's see. Others that are interesting, Tennessee, 15th. Hmm. So there you go.
They just got a big quarterback committee. Another one coming, like, next year. Yeah, 25.
I'm excited about Nico. I really am. It feels like we've been talking about him for 3 years.
Yep.
And now's his real time.
Yep.
Well, and Milton's going to win the starting job in the NFL. Turns out he was more than we thought.
Chernoff straightened us all out. Oh, anybody's getting overly hyped about Milton, it'll be Drake May or Brissett. It'll be Brissett to start the year, and they're going to hand it off to Drake May.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But that's not a good sign for Drake May.
No.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's your coach's poll. That's your coach's poll over at USA Today.
Get close, gentlemen. We are sniffing this college football.
They're over there sweating. And there's no rain coming. These are the dog days right now. This August preseason camp they got going on right now. But we are in the, it kicks off this month.
Yeah, no, we'll be saying that.
For Memphis football.
We'll be saying that a lot. Over the next 20 to 25 days. We're getting close.
Tomorrow we'll announcing the Touchdown Club of Memphis with a radio partner.
Uh-oh. Really means it's football season.
So tomorrow, Harold and the boys are putting the speakers thing together. They work with the SEC. They got some special guests. We'll announce that tomorrow.
Jason, will you be speaking?
They didn't ask me this year.
Damn. Well, actually,
I just found out if Cole Kubrick doesn't show up again, we have arranged it for Jason and John to
Jason. I think Jason's a football guy.
They get national people, and they get Gabe, who played.
That's right.
And they're going to get somebody local, somebody who played like Gabe.
I don't want to disparage Gabe, but Gabe stepped in, and they needed somebody, so he stepped in.
I thought Gabe should host it every week.
He's pretty good at it. He did a good job for him.
I mean, the guy played, and he brings the
Memphis
angle, everything else to the table, so he's fantastic.
Yes.
I think he's been awesome. I'm looking forward to revealing the list tomorrow. Of the Touchdown Club.
Yeah.
Love it. We'll come back. Got Respect Burgers on the other side. Then Jason Fitz scheduled to join us at 1:25. Stick around. Jason and John, Argentina Fam, ESPN.
Time for you to buy or sell a home. You know who we're recommended, and that's the Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency. Because they're the experts, and they know what goes into getting you the most money for your home on the selling side, and they know how to get you the best deal on the buying side, where you're not making any compromises, where you get exactly what you want. You don't have to settle for less. If you want a big bathroom and you got a budget, they're going to find you that, right, where you don't have to compromise. That's what they do. They're the best in town. Reach out. SoldoLiveLoveMemphis.com.
901-625-5200 is how to get a hold of the folks at Live Love. I'm seeing too many yard signs that aren't Live Love signs. I'm going to have that thing on the market for months. That's not the case when you get with Jen. Speaking from personal experience, mine was a lemon, basically. She got mine sold in 6 days. It was a much different market. If you've been on the market for weeks or months and you're having a lower price than everything else, you got with the wrong group, I'm just going to tell you. 901-625-5200. What Jennifer Carstensen says from the get-go she's going to get is typically how it goes. She's got the eye. She's trying to improve Memphis. Specializes in helping first-time home buyers once you're out of that renting situation and an ownership situation. If there is a path to it, she can get you there. And at the very least, like I like to say, she's going to be a great resource for you. So call her up. All questions will be answered. 901-625-5200 is the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency. Now, it is more work when you have got to get on the grill in the heat of summer. And we are certainly in the heat of summer right now. However, it's my job every Monday to get on the Big Green Egg, pull it out, pat together some burgers like I used to do back at the Memphis Country Club, but I season these a little bit differently. I season them with respect. We'll do it on a hot day. Respect Burgers.
Now, it's time for the Jason and John Show, Respect Burgers. Y-S-E-C-T. Sizzling Respect Burgers, served hot and fresh from Jason and John.
We got some national flavor. We got some local flavor on these Respect Burgers. We'll start national. We've touched on it. He has the title of the world's fastest man. His name is Noah Lyles, and anytime America can bring that title back for the first time since 2004, you get respect, and you certainly do. And one of the closest races we have ever seen, arguably the closest, with a personal best of 9.784, Noah Lyles becomes the 100-meter champion. Did feel a little bit more patriotic. There's more in it. Usain Bolt had owned the sprints for years, and whether it's been on the men's side or the women's side, it feels like Jamaica's sort of they've owned this thing. Felt good. You know, I grew up in the days of Carl Lewis. You know what I'm saying? And I guess as recently as, well, not really recently now, 20 years ago, it was Justin Gatlin, I think, back in 2004. And so Noah Lyles, the reason I'm giving him the respect burger is because you have to, when you talk the talk and you walk the walk, you back it up. And I had never seen a racer, and even Defy, I think, pointed this out, the announcer, that when Usain Bolt, the highly decorated sprinter that he was, gold medal champion multiple times, used to come out for the event, I don't remember him coming out strutting like we saw Noah Lyles did. I thought Noah Lyles was making a mistake, frankly, especially after I'd watched him, yeah, take it easy, but not win his semifinal. And so coming into this, a guy who had said, listen, I'm the fastest man, I'm going to prove it, I worried with the way he was, sort of how boisterous he was beforehand, but you can't do anything but give him all the props in the world and all the respect. Again, because Shane Thompson was a man and only came by, was only, what, 0.005 of a second behind him there in second place. But it was a great race, had the heart thumping, and we're back to America at least owning the fastest title, at least the title of fastest man for this Olympic. Shout-out to Lyles, who, if he makes the 200-meter finals Wednesday night, will have an opportunity to claim a second gold medal. And as John has discussed, going into this thing, that's the easier of his two races. That's the one he's more favored in than he was in the 100. So you certainly hope it's going to be good news for Lyles in the 200 as well. All right, moving on. Still Olympics, though, but back local, and we've touched on them, but you have to give them respect burgers. Both are fantastic performances. We kind of compared them. But Germantown's Seth Ryder getting silver this morning in the Olympics in the triathlon. Now, this was the mixed relay part of the triathlon. He had competed individually. Here makes the podium as part of a four-member team, two men, two women. And you got Germantown, straight from Germantown to Paris, and you're on the medal stand, so you have got to get an absolute respect burger. And then I will absolutely give one to Harrison Williams, who I think finishing seventh, being the being America's top finisher in the decathlon, the event that that most call, you know, you win this, you're the best athlete in the world. Finishing seventh is as good as you can get. This is a former national champion at Stanford, former MUS standout, obviously, who I got to see back in the day at Spring Fling, set state records, meet records. Always kind of figured that that Harrison Williams had Olympics written all over him. Some you're wrong about, some you kind of, that feeling turns out to be right, and Williams absolutely shined. It was so good there, that last race. We're getting the javelin really set him back. He had a chance to bronze there, but a poor javelin throw hurt him, but it was so good to hear the announcer say from Memphis, Tennessee, Harrison Williams, and he has certainly represented the city well. All right, moving on, staying Olympics, though. We haven't touched as much on this, and I think by the end of it, you're sort of dizzy in the pool. You're dizzy at the swimming meet, because there are so many dang events, whether it's mixed, whether it's medley, whether it's relay, whatever else. But shout out to USA Swimming, because we have talked about the back and forth, the rivalry that there is, or there certainly is in the swimming, the world swimming community, between the USA and Australia. And as of yesterday, as they closed the pool down, the U.S. did rally and beat Australia where it mattered, which was in gold medals, 8-7. Some in world record fashion, but in the end, you just want to beat Australia. Remember why they had talked about going into these Olympics, how much they hated our cowbells. At swim meets, when the American fans are in them, we like to ring the cowbell. Brad knows very well about that from being down in Starkville all the time. But this is in swimming. Cowbell's a thing, too. The Australians hated about us. But in the end, you're able to show them more golds and sort of push it back in their face. And so out of that that little back and forth international rivalry there, USA Swimming comes out on top. And so respect to them. All right, back home. Desmond Bain, respect burger, man. Did you see what he's doing over the weekend?
I did not see that.
He was a part of Memphis Shelby County Schools handing out free backpacks on Saturday over at the Memphis Sports and Events Center. And Brad just hit his heart, because I know it makes him proud. And Brad was one of the guys, and I was always holding him up for this, that knew when he saw Desmond Bain, first laid eyes on him, this guy's special. And it's not just the basketball player, the shooter that he is. I think Brad noticed the great man he was, very off top, raised by his grandparents, old soul, like we were talking earlier in the show about someone else. That's what Desmond Bain is. And here's Desmond Bain, again, a guy who is not I'm just going to say it. He's paid, you know, like one of the NBA stars. But let's be real. We don't hold him up around here as highly as we hold up some others. And I want to be real careful about this because I've been guilty of it, and I don't like it about myself. That a lot of times when I'm trying to hold up somebody else, I'll end up pulling someone else down. And so I don't want to pull out down Ja Morant because he's not out giving the free backpacks here. That's Ja Morant's, you know, that's his prerogative. And I'm sure Ja has done plenty. We know he's done plenty, whether it's his camp, whether it's Kids for South Carolina, whatever else. What I need to do more of is just focusing on the actual act by the player. And here's Desmond Bane taking time on a Saturday, time that he obviously could be elsewhere, could be with his child, giving away free backpacks for Memphis and Shelby County Schools. And again, I like that. I like that about my pros around town, that they're willing to humble themselves, get a little bit of their time, and not necessarily for a money grab or you know, a camp, whatever's going to get money. I want to be real careful about this again because you just want to hold up the guy rather than sort of set him apart. Ja's going to have plenty of opportunities, and many other Grizzlies will have plenty of opportunities to do. And we know they do the bowling for backpacks. Mike Conley did a thing, but it was just so great to see Desmond Bane doing that. Again, it's something that I'm sure is not high at the top of the list when he wakes up in the morning in terms of things he loves to do, but he goes out there and feels it's his responsibility. I love that, especially about my from my professional basketball players. And then finally, a off the beaten path and has nothing to do whatsoever with sports. I was in Orange Mound on Saturday for the homegoing service of Miss Barbara Ann Spencer. Now, a little bit of background. The Spencer family is a family of best friend growing up, and Barbara Ann Spencer was one of the matriarchs of this family. Passed away, and they had her funeral on Saturday. Like we said, homegoing service on Saturday at Greater New Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church on Maywood Street in the heart of Orange Mound. Okay, and for me, again, you guys know my mom just lost her back in October. Funerals, and for many of you all, you probably feel the same way. Always a sad thing. I'm always very emotional at funerals, even if it's not a family member. Whether it's seeing family members, talk about that family member, whatever else it is, always very moved, very emotional. Usually come away very sad. That is sort of the it goes against sort of the nature of what some refer to as homegoing services, which is an actual celebration where, yes, there are tears. And for Steve and Chad and Tam, all of Miss Barbara's kids, there were certainly tears. But you come away happy because the job that Pastor Franklin Collins did in reminding us that Miss Barbara Ann was back home. She was back home with the God that she was so committed to in his arms in heaven. And that was something to celebrate because there was no more pain. The pain that sometimes she, you know, might keep her from going to church that she pushed through, that pain's all gone and she's with her Lord and Savior. And it was more of a time for celebration. And while, again, like I said, there were tears in the room, there was music, they were playing Hallelujah Anyhow.
Yeah.
Again, at a time of tragedy, they were still praising the Lord because of how good and how what an example of a committed woman of God this woman was. And so the whole church was just was pulsating in happiness at a homegoing celebration, and I had to be reminded of, man, that's how you know some of these are supposed to go, you know, that in some cases you can come away happy, encouraged, lifted up from a funeral. And I just got all the folks, all the family, I mean, you know, from the folks I grew up with, certainly they have my thoughts and prayers like I told them on Saturday. But for that entire church family, I just want to say thank you because the message that day certainly resonated with me as well.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. So, again, shout out to the folks at Greater New Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church on Maywood and Orange Mound. We had church in there on Saturday, and we lifted up Ms. Barbara Ann Spencer. And, again, I'm thinking and praying still of the Spencer family.
Well said, man. Appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah.
I think that was good for a lot of people to hear. I don't want to spoil, you know, I don't want to go from a moment like that to a disrespect dog, but I will do it. I will do it.
You can pivot off. You can pivot off anything, bro. Professional.
I will do it. I got to give it to the IBA, man. I mean, boxing is a sport that once upon a time was the center of our country, right? We used to love boxing. We used to, you know, huddle around it. We used to have stars. We used to have and
it meant something,
right? And now, not necessarily because of this individual sort of scandal or you know controversy with the female boxers in the Olympics, but when we think about what eroded our love for boxing over the years, it has been the perception or maybe even the real sense of corruption, right? And I think, like, you know, in this case, it's the IBA, not the IOC, two different entities. IBA sort of is alleging things that maybe didn't even happen, right? And the IOC is saying those things didn't happen, and so everybody's going to get a chance to do this. So IBA doesn't have anything to do with what's going on, you know, necessarily in our part of the world in boxing, but it has been amok with, you know, corruption over the years. So, you know, it's more of it. So IBA is going to get that disrespect dog today. We'll come back. We'll talk to Jason Fitz. We'll get his thoughts on training camps. Jason Fitz.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is a football host on Yahoo Sports. Catch him on Fox Sports Radio as well. Joins us every single Monday, and he joins us now. What's up, my friend?
Man, you guys play a little collective soul. I appreciate that. That was a little tip of the cap. Had some fun with them at Xfinity Amphitheater in Hartford last week. It was a good time. So I love you playing a little collective soul coming in.
Yeah, the December was my jam.
Oh, okay.
Way back, you didn't sound like you agree with that. That's not their best work, it sounds like, to you.
No, I'm a fan of all of their work. I'm not gonna criticize any of it. I just, that's an off the beaten path choice. Like, most people don't go there. But yeah, I got to play with them on It's World I Know and go out and play a little violin with them. I've known the guitar player for years. He toured with country artists back when the band Perry was touring, and he's been a full-time member of Collective Soul for probably close to a decade at this point. So a great buddy, and he saw the video of me sitting in with Jordan Davis a few weeks ago, so he texted me and said, hey, you want to sit in with us? And I was like, yeah, let's do it. So fun time, you know, 23,000 people going out there and hanging out with some buddies. So yeah, I had a blast. Also, fun fact, like Edwin McCain was a big deal for me in the 90s. I loved Edwin. He was the opener. And he came up to me after I played, and he's like, dude, you were great. I wish I had known you. I would have had you sit in. And I was like, I'd be an honor. Like, I love those songs. And so he gave me his number. So now Edwin and I are texting buddies. And I'm like, yeah.
That's awesome.
Funny how, like, and by the way, coolest story ever, Edwin drives his own bus. He's like, I don't need to pay a bus driver. I don't play that. The show's not that taxing. I don't play that long. So he does it with it. They've got, like, two guys in the band with him. They do a little acoustic set to open the show, and then they drive themselves in a tour bus to the next city. I just love that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the what was the Edwin McCain song? And I'll be.
I'll be. That's it. Yeah. That's it.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, man, he can still sang it. Like, sang with the A-H in the middle of it, not sing. Like, he can sang it. Like, he started going for it. He's like, oh, I had all the feels. Like, if I had any hair on my arms, it would have stood up.
Yeah. Jason gets emotional. My partner gets emotional when that song comes out. I'm going to jam December when I leave here. There's no, what's the, turn your head now, baby, just spit me.
That's the joint. Yeah, that's the joint.
Real quick here while we're on this subject. We were actually talking about this, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago about this genre, right, that Collective Soul. When I think about those bands, and I think about that time in music, they were at the apps. They're one of them, right? They're one of those alternative indie bands that it personified the genre that maybe those bands exist today, Fitz, but it just feels like they're not mainstream as they once were. Why did this genre disappear the way it seems to have disappeared?
So the fun fact is, if you took a 20-year period before 2020, actually, if you took a 40-year period, I think was the average, the number one song was by a band, and an average over that course of like 48 out of 52 weeks, like bands ruled the charts for whole eras, and we all know that. The thing of it is now, like you used to have to form a band with your buddies, and everybody brought their own instrument, and you played in the garage. Now, if you're a singer, you can sit down in front of Pro Tools, and you can just program the drums, and but you know you can find a guitar loop, and you can find all of these other things online. So you don't really need a band to push your creativity. So you can do it all in your living room. So if I'm a record label and I can put out one guy, that's way more cost effective than being a record label and having to travel five guys everywhere I go. So it's more cost effective. There's less risk for the label. And creatively now, like, I mean, kids when they were 12 or 13, a generation ago, got in the garage and they plugged in amps and they made mistakes until they got it right. And now that same 12 or 13 year old kid sits in his living room and he's got Pro Tools up and he learns to program and he makes his own demos and he doesn't have to creatively compromise. So I think bands for the foreseeable future are mostly mainstream dead, and there's nothing you can do about it, which is a shame because you get better. Like, y'all know this, working a show together. You don't have the same views every day, so you push each other to be better. I miss musicians pushing musicians for better content. You can't do that when you're a solo artist.
Have y'all, and this is just popping up, I'm just curious, and especially since we've got a music man on, have y'all heard the new Moneybagg Yo and Morgan Wallen Whiskey Whiskey?
Yeah.
Uh oh. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to ask what you think, just as again, a Grammy winner.
Yeah, there's just such a weird, this is just being real. There's such a weird cross section for me on Morgan because, you know, like I don't know Morgan particularly. I know a lot of people that do know Morgan, and everybody will say that when he's sober, he's a really nice guy, but he's just not when he's not. And so, like, I have a hard time sometimes. But this is the line we've talked about before. Like, what do you do with, you know, R. Kelly for some people? What do you do with Michael for some people? And, like, it's just, it's hard because, like, I have a hard time separating the individual from the work. But Morgan continues to do work that's really good. So, like, yeah, it's hard. Like, I like the music. I just struggle to support the human.
Wow. Understood.
Here's the joint you were telling.
I never forgave him. He left those folks in South Haven high and dry.
I was gonna say it was Ole Miss, South Haven.
Yeah, they were down there for
Oxford.
They were down there for hours, and only until you know 30-40 minutes before the show was scheduled to start did they announce that he couldn't make it. I've definitely just judged him. I've judged him because he blamed, you know, he lost his voice. Okay, dog. Well, yeah, you lost.
But also, he's the guy that during COVID got SNL, which most of us would kill for, and their only rule was you had to, you know, you had to self-isolate because it was COVID. And instead, like, right after the announcement came out, he was out at a bar in a college campus.
I saw that.
With pictures of him with a bunch of girls while his then-wife was pregnant at home. And he's blowing his whole life, and he's blowing SNL. And then SNL gave another shot. And then, you know, he gets drunk, and some footage gets out of him using words that would get people in trouble anywhere and should. And, you know, all of a sudden it's like, oh, sorry, my bad. I've never done that before. It's like, yeah, we're supposed to believe that. And then, you know, he finally gets to the spot where he's the biggest thing in the world and has to send himself to rehab. And it's like, how many second chances can one guy get before we're like, you know what? You're talented, but you ain't worth that, you know?
Yeah, no question about it. All right, Fitz, what's been the moment of the Olympics for you?
Well, I think Leon Marchand doing what he's done in France in front of his home crowd. Like, look, y'all, I was in Rio in 2016, humble brag. I was in the room when Phelps set the gold record, humble brag. And there's something about swimming live that I don't even know TV can capture. I think it's just absolutely epic to watch. But hearing the crowd just yell as his head came out of the water to help him time his run, that's one of the most incredible things I've ever seen on TV. I know people that were in the room for it, they said it was like a soccer match, met in an SEC football game around swimming. Like, I think what he did in that moment, and then to win two golds in 2 hours, come on, like two Olympic records, like, it's just not the sort of thing humans do. So I think he's been the most spectacular story.
Yeah, not even Phelps had done that, right? Win them both right on the same night. So that was certainly pretty impressive. What did you think about the Lyles finish? In any grief whatsoever? And John actually maybe even kind of changed my thinking in terms of the gentleman's name, it escapes me now, but the play-by-play on the track announcer who had announced it for the Jamaican. John's point was, you know, hindsight's one thing, but even in the moment when you've got such a close race, maybe you just yell out, photo finish, rather than going with your gut. I know he's paid to do that. Sort of where'd you stand on sort of how he called it and then the race itself?
Yeah, well, the race, I mean, one of the epic all-time moments that I can remember.
Yeah.
The finish of the race, like, at that moment, you know, a buddy of mine said years ago, you never get in trouble for what you don't say, right? And so there is nothing wrong. And what do we see all the time? Like, a lot of people yelled about the end of the call at the end of the Super Bowl. We got Romo talking over the whole thing instead of just letting it breathe. Like, when you have a finish like that, I think your number one instinct has to be silent.
Yeah.
Take a second, let it sit in. Let the people that are spotting get in your ear and tell you what to expect, and then, like, capture the moment of we have a photo finish. You can't be wrong. Like, you can't step out on it. But even above and beyond that, you just shouldn't say anything until you're sure, because the whole world is watching that broadcast, and it's going to be encapsulated for history, right? Like, we're going to rewatch that over and over and over again. So silence is the best medicine right there. Like, you just let – nobody's going to – fault you for not saying anything.
No, y'all are right.
Cheers.
You're right.
You know?
Yep.
Because how could you have possibly known? Like, that's kind of where I'm at. It's like, you know, at home, we're like, oh, yeah, we think the guy won it, you know, but we don't have any considerations to be making. We're not announcing this to a massive worldwide audience, you know? So,
right.
I don't know what go ahead.
Think about how when we see this in NFL games, where we're like, that's obviously a first down. And it's like, well, wait a minute, guys. The angle of the camera can be a little deceiving. So we got to watch it again. Like, I think there's nothing wrong. Like, even if it looks clear as day, let the Olympics tell you who won before you put yourself in trouble. It's just, I think that's just sage advice, right? Like, you got to know better at that platform.
Yeah. It's kind of funny, you know. The running joke with the show is that I'm the only one in America that's watching Olympic basketball. Like, everybody is watching everything else.
At least till the knockouts.
Yeah. But it does kind of feel like Olympic basketball has just not... It really hasn't been a thing. Is it because everybody just... The United States was just such a favorite in both men and women to win the gold medal, so we don't really bat an eye until the gold medal game?
Yeah. But that's also, like, I don't know, there was this moment where when Team USA got challenged, you know, when South Sudan makes it a one-point game, that was sexy, right? Everybody's like, ooh, how's this going to play out? Once Team USA puts the absolute fire into people, and then, look, I also think that Kerr being the great coach he is and being honest about it, but, like, when you're on a rotation where you simply don't need a likely future Hall of Famer to even step on the court to win, it just speaks to the imbalance. Like, it speaks to why it's not interesting. I honestly think the best thing that could happen for Olympic basketball interest-wise globally is for Team USA to lose. And then people will pay attention to it, and then we will all freak out. But as it stands right now, how do you make it interesting when we all know who's going to win all of these matchups? It's not. And then the other part of it is, it's not like gymnastics, where even if you know the women's team's going to dominate, you still want to watch it because you're not going to get it again for 4 years. Like, you're going to get these same NBA players playing on an All-Star game in, 8 months. So what's the appeal? Why give your time to it when this is a time where, frankly, it's like the only time every 4 years that water polo was more exciting?
Last week, and I'll hold up my hand a little bit here, I thought I was sounding real smart, watching this 3-on-3 basketball team with Ferdinand and Canyon Berry lose, and a little bit probably overly passionate. I mean, all we had was Olympics last week. Why can't you go get Jamal Crawford and Joe Johnson and DeMarcus Cousins and we do better than this? But I think it was Tim Kalishaw later in the week that made the better point and sounded so much smarter than I had. And I wonder where you're at on this. Why do we need 3-on-3 basketball if we've done away with some other real things like baseball or whatever else? Do we really need another version of basketball in our Olympics? In addition to sending our best over there, is not the better idea to just can 3-on-3?
Yeah, no, you're 1,000% right. Why do you need it? It's a really fair question to it. And look, I think there are some things about the Olympics that are like, look, guys, I don't want to, great, you're an Olympian, but breakdancing is an Olympic sport. So, like, baseball is not, but breakdancing is. Like, we're supposed to get into breakdancing now? So, like, what are we doing? And you're right. Like, I was sitting next to somebody at a bar the other night, and they're like, I really like this 3-on-3 basketball. We should do more of that in America. And I'm like, there's a whole league called the Big Three, and, like, nobody even realizes that. So it is funny to me that there are just, like, it's an existing thing that we just don't care about, and then all of a sudden we pretend we care during the Olympics. I have a hard time really investing anything into it because, like, it's just we've got 5-on-5, and that's what we're going to dominate. So I agree with you. I think it feels a little unnecessary, but if we're going to do it, let's at least send the people that can help us win. That makes sense to me.
Put a little more effort in it.
Yes, exactly right. Or how about this? Let's keep sending those same players, and I'll just keep hitting the under
Is that what you've done?
Oh, absolutely. On the U.S. women in China on Saturday, that was an under all day. It wasn't even a sweat. It was 14 to 12.
Did you tell Fitz beforehand that you had the edge there?
Yeah. He cut himself off when he tried to come against me on the Cowboys. I mean,
anybody thinks the other side. The real answer.
You're finding out. Yep.
Yep. Wow.
No, I don't.
Became personal. Like.
I don't do that ever. Like, I don't ever try to, not because I don't want people to, but I don't want to deal with the backlash if it doesn't win. Right? Like, I've done that. I'm sure you've done it too. Like, I say, hey, bet this. All right, we bet it doesn't win. Then I'm the one that gets the complaint. You know what I mean? Like, bro, I didn't guarantee you that this was going to win. Okay. I'm just telling you, this is what I'm on. Do with that information what you will. I'm not responsible for the outcome, but that's
dude,
why.
I feel you on that because, like, when I'm in a bar on a Saturday watching college football, inevitably somebody says, oh, what do you got? And I'm like, I got money on this. And it's like, let's all ride it together. I'm like, I didn't need that pressure. I already felt pressure with my money on it. Your money's on it? Like, I don't want that smoke. I don't need it.
Exactly, because you're the one that's going to get the brunt, bro. All right? That's exactly what it's all about. It's about the pressure.
Hey, Fitzy, we've already told you how you put the light bulb in our head about, Dak Prescott eventually to the Raiders and kind of looking forward. I want to do that with you again. Will Bill Belichick be coaching next season after this one? Is he done?
I don't think so. I think he's done. I honestly think he's done. But I think part of the reason he's done is because the control he would want and a turnaround just isn't quick enough. Like, he'd have to go somewhere. It'd have to be like when John Gruden went to the Buccaneers and it was like, this is Super Bowl ready. We just need one person. So maybe people listening will say, well, that's the Cowboys. But I think the Cowboys are going to have a new starting quarterback next year. So I don't think they're suddenly Super Bowl ready, right? So you can look at it and say, well, maybe it's the Jets. But, like, are we really going to die in the hill of a 41-year-old quarterback at that point in Aaron Rodgers? Like, I don't know. So I don't know that I see a spot that I'm sitting here saying, you know what, they just need a little tweak with one new voice and suddenly this is the place. And honestly, I just, like, once Belichick starts just enjoying TV life and then realizing how much money he can make in TV life, I don't know. Like, it's just, for me, I know guys miss the game, but my God, you're still around a bunch of guys who played the game at a high level. You're still around the game as much as you want to be. You're still breaking down film, and you're making, you know, tens of millions of dollars to do it. Like, I just wonder in a year if he's still going to have the want to do it. But if he does go somewhere, he can't go somewhere that's going to take 2 or 3 years to get it right. He's got to go somewhere he can win a Super Bowl right now. I don't think that there's a place that's going to exist like that.
Talking to Jason Fitz from Yahoo Sports and a radio host for Fox Sports Radio. All right, let's talk a little NFL preseason. Let's handicap some quarterback competitions here, most notably with the Raiders. There are a few I want to touch on, but let's start here. Gardner Minshew had a great Saturday. Apparently today he's throwing the ball all over the field. Antonio Pierce said earlier today that both guys will be getting a quarter each, a real quarter, in the first game of preseason, so they'll have a real chance to show their stuff. Who's the favorite?
I still think that at the end of his day, Aiden O'Connell is the favorite. He's going to win the job. And look, it's not going to be about the flashy plays. It's going to be all about, well, he can make the plays that are on schedule for us. So, yeah, I think it's Aiden wins the job. Gardner has 2 or 3 plays that are really nice, but Aiden wins the job just by going out and executing really boring football.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, look, it's terrible. Is it the worst quarterback situation in the league? I mean, it's got
to
be.
Yeah. I would just want, is that the smartest thing for Pierce early? Don't you have to try to make it look like in that locker room you're trying to do everything you can to win so you go with the higher paid veteran early?
Yeah, but you're going to sell that locker room on Aiden's your guy, been here for a minute.
I got you.
You're going to sell him on that. And then the other side of it is, like, honestly, we all know the ceiling for Gardner. And if you're AP, you're looking at it saying, I think I got a top 5 defense in the NFL. I just got to make sure we don't screw it up, right? Your sales pitch is going to be, we don't want stuff off schedule. We want to limit mistakes. We want to make sure that we move forward ahead. But, yeah, I do think this is – when's the last time, honestly, we had this sort of no real answer, no real future, no real concept from a team that won 8 games and is like, might be a playoff team if things break right and might be a terrible team if things break wrong, and we have no idea who the starting quarterback is. Like, this is rare in today's NFL.
I'd say so.
Pittsburgh, is it Russell Wilson or Justin Fields?
It's Justin Fields all the way. And look, part of this is about the future to me too. Like, if Russ goes in, and I don't think he will, but if Russ goes in and plays lights out, it's 1 year. You're going to give him $40 million a year for the next 3 years at his age? I don't want that. So I think Justin Fields, especially all the extra time he's getting right now, works out to be a perfect excuse for keeping him on the field. He'll start, and then he'll get enough leash that he is the starter for the rest of the year. I still don't think he's going to have a great year, but I think that he wins the job.
Yeah. Hey, Fitz, man, great stuff as always.
Thank
brother.
You, brother.
Appreciate your time.
Appreciate you guys. Have a great week.
Yes, sir. He is Jason Fitz. Joins us every single Monday here on the show.
You been on that Morgan Wallen and Moneybagg, yo?
I don't like it.
It seemed like it would be right up your alley.
I gave it a
when
shot.
When I heard it Friday, I thought it had you written all over it.
Didn't like it. Don't like it. Just not really a fan of it. It just is. It's like pandering. It's like it's like lowest form of art to me. It's just.
It feels big hit-ish.
Well, it will
Am
be.
I wrong? I thought with y'all in the crossover, it would be big hit.
Yeah, it'll be commercial, a big commercial hit, but it's not a good. It doesn't sound like a good song to me. Like the whiskey song you're talking about.
Is it better than the Shaboozy joint?
No. I don't like the crossover. I don't like the rap and country crossover.
We know you don't like it. I'm just saying, but there's a market for it, and the Shaboozy thing.
Well, Morgan Wallen is a bigger star than Shaboozy, so if it is a bigger hit than that, it will be because of Morgan Wallen. But I don't think it's a better song. I like the, like, you know.
But that one was more ripped off.
That Shaboozy song is catchy.
But it's ripped off.
It was, but it was catchy, as opposed to this one is not catchy at all.
I'm tired of it. Yeah, I don't know. That's pretty catchy.
All of Morgan Wallen's songs sound the same.
By the end of the thing, I was about to add your center. I was saying tired of it.
9-5 ain't working. Why the hell do I work so hard?
This is not whiskey.
Nah, this is the real hit.
I can't take them when I'm gone.
Morgan Wallen.
Here comes the 2 to the 3.
Oh, this is Shaboozy.
Tell them bring another out. We gon' plenty more. Two-stepping on the table. I don't need a dance floor. Oh, my. Good Lord. Someone pull me up a double shot.
Double shot of waste.
They know me and Jay. Yeah, dog.
I'm just comparing the two songs.
Everybody at the bargain. Tipsy. Think of the violin. Fitz coming in with the fiddle.
See, I've heard that before. This is just the country version of it.
Nah, see, Whiskey is
whereas
like,
Whiskey is...
It's a Moneybag song that's featuring Morgan Wallen, or is it the other way around?
I'm pretty sure it's Moneybag featuring Morgan Wallen.
I mean, I get it, but I just...
Again.
This does not hit.
Now it's me and all my whiskey friends, and I'm tired of it. Hey. Tired of it.
Yeah, it's me. Dark brown skin, call eye contact while walking.
Like, it's like, why is Morgan Wallen on this song, though? Like, he didn't really need him. I know why he did it, but he doesn't really, like, add to the song to me. I mean, maybe if you think he does. Tired of it.
That's the hook, bro.
Yeah. I'm just not a fan of it. I don't know. I like Moneybag. I like the old Moneybag. You know what I'm saying? I don't like the new Moneybag.
So they're not going to play this on country music stations like they would play Shaboozy.
No way.
Because this is Moneybag's song.
No way.
And so this won't cross over like Shaboozy.
If you put
so
this
it doesn't
on,
have the chance.
If you put this on Chris Michael's desk, he's going to say, I'm tired of it.
They play this on K97, I bet.
Yeah, I mean, it'll...
That's what I'm saying, because it's Moneybag. It's 107 and all them going to play
but
this.
But do you think it'll even...
And I think that's probably where I heard it. I heard it on Friday. I think I heard it on a black station as opposed to...
What you mean, black station?
They're not going to play this at the Grand Ole Opry.
Hip-hop is accessible for...
Whereas with Shaboozy, you see what I'm saying? Shaboozy, they're playing at the Grand Ole Opry as their crossover. Yeah. They ain't playing Moneybag, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's my gut.
Like, this is whack.
I don't think it's whack.
This right here is whack.
Oh, this part.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's rapping, basically. Morgan Wallen is on here rapping.
Just not a fan. Not a fan, bro.
I don't mind something different.
I love
it. I kind of like it.
I just like that it's original. They're not ripping something else off. At least they're doing their... And not original, since we've seen the combination of genres.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, they're not doing an old song like your boy Shaboozy is.
I think Shaboozy's song sounds better, though. I think it is
That's fine.
But, you know, you can... You ride out... I'm riding out to Collective Soul today. That's the bottom line.
Well, you do that by yourself.
December, Collective Soul. That's what I'm getting out of here too, Brad. When I leave this station and I get in that car, I'm coming out to that. Turn your head now, baby, and get over to Sonic, where that brand new $1.99 menu lets you build a crave-worthy meal for just $1.99 an item. That could be a creamy shake. It could be crispy tots. It could be a quarter-pound double cheeseburger. The fun $1.99 menu, always five items, always $1.99.
Do the Sonic Smasher. Tangy Smasher sauce, melted cheese, hand-smashed Angus patty seared to crispy perfection in only the way that Sonic could do it. And, of course, they've got all the sweet treats. You can do their Oreo cookie pieces, Reese's peanut butter cups, Flavorista favorites we've been telling you about, the Paradise Sunsets, wonderful on a hot day. Lemonades, limeades, French vanilla, cold brewed iced coffee as well. So Sonic has got it all and a ton of options to choose from. Make sure you're taking advantage of that $1.99 menu and build that crave-worthy meal. Live free. Eat Sonic. Calm down, John.
Turn your head now, baby, just spit me out. Yeah, man. I feel my ancestral European Caucasian roots pulsating.
Coming out.
This is the song, and this is the kind of stuff I was programming when I moved to Memphis 20 years ago.
Dude, Collective Soul, man.
94.1 The Buzz.
That's a great song. Don't you agree?
It is a great song. That band was big.
Yeah,
big,
man.
Big, big, big in their day.
Yeah.
For the Caucasian
also,
branded radio stations.
The band that comes to mind, too, is like, remember Default?
Oh, yeah. It's the same. That genre is called pop alternative.
Yeah.
I think you called it indie. It ain't indie. At the time, it was mainstream,
It was mainstream. That's right.
Yeah,
That's right.
And those bands all just crapped out to all the points that Jason made earlier.
Right.
Because now kids are replicating this crap in their garage with a computer.
That's right. Different time.
Yeah. No talent.
Yeah,
no,
I mean, old school people don't think so, but I mean, I like it.
I'll just play an old man in a rocking chair. Yeah. I mean, they obviously require some talent.
I did play it, though, because I saw on Fitzy's Instagram and his X account that he played on stage with these guys this weekend. It was pretty cool to see him playing the violin on stage with Collective Soul at a show of, like, some random concert.
I realize how worldly and accomplished that guy is.
Yeah.
He gives us his time every Monday.
Crazy.
Yeah, so it's a different time. We don't get the same songs, but...
I wish I had a diverse... diversified skill. Like, I could just, maybe I could go on tour with somebody if this didn't work out. You know, it's
yep,
nice.
Yep, absolutely right. But good stuff there from Jason Fitz, who joins us every single Monday. And we are very much appreciative, you know. He did live that
life. If he answers the phone.
That's right. It just depends. Yeah. I mean, he might be on tour with somebody. He might be on tour with Edwin McCain.
Yeah, he's on stage with Stained. But
Stained!
Today he picked it up.
Disturbed. Wah! Yeah. Remember them?
Oh, yeah. Lit.
I'm just taking Jason down the
rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Stumbled for the Audi, bro.
He thought.
He'd give me a rocket into Audi with this stuff.
Yes.
He thought he left that
behind
in
the
90s.
To Germany.
You know, Jason going to be busting out that joint there that Morgan Wallen put together.
No, he's better
whiskey,
than that.
Whiskey.
He's better than that for sure. Hey, that's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Jason Fitz for joining us on the show. Jeffrey and Company up next. Stick around. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
Stay connected with 92.9 FM ESPN. Catch up anytime with all things Memphis. Never miss a moment on 92.9 FM ESPN with the free Odyssey app. Unsportsmanlike ESPN Morning.
Chris Canty on 92.9.
Jeff Calkins, Jason and John, Jeffrey and Company, The Gabe Kuhn Show.
Gabe Kuhn on 92.9 makes my commute so much better.
Anytime with Rewind. Smart speakers, say play 92.9 ESPN.
I love listening to sports in Memphis with 92.9 on Odyssey.
92.9 FM ESPN's Jeffrey Wright and Company. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m.
I am pleased to welcome to the program Emmy-nominated writer and producer. He's the creator and showrunner of Entourage. He's on Twitter, on X, at Mr. Doug Ellen. The Johnny Drama Cavs gag is still, like, it makes me laugh so much. Like, whenever I'm with our friends, we see somebody with great calves. Like, bro, your calves, they real? Like, I just, who brought that up? Like, how did that whole gag come together? Because it makes me laugh so hard.
So humiliating. I mean, how does this really come up? Because first of all, Kevin Dillon has enormous calves, like unusually large calves.
Are they
and
real?
When he got this script, he, you know, Dillon is in real life is one of the funniest people, but he's also, he just, there's things about him that he doesn't want to be made fun of. So he was like, this storyline makes no sense, bro. I got huge calves. Somehow I convinced him, but how did this story come up? Sadly, even though, again, I'm on my way in an hour to play pickleball with one of the best athletes in the world, and I'm gonna beat him up a little bit.
Love it.
For another couple of months till he improves. But I just don't have a strong calf muscle. And I was in Hawaii, and my ex-wife said something about calf implants, and I'm like that. That's not real. You can't get calf implants, can you? And I don't even think Google exists at this point. But then I started looking into it, and I said, this would be hilarious to have drama be a guy who thinks he's not getting jobs because of his legs, you know? So that's where it came from.
Jeffrey Wright with the best in sports media from David Cobb from CBS, Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian, to DeMichael Cole from the Memphis Commercial Appeal.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.